Hey guys, it's me and my little duo over here.
Good morning.
He's back.
Yep. The co-host is back for this episode.
No, you're not a co-host. You're a main host too.
No.
But it's usually just me a lot of times because we kind of have like our own like little mornings of kind of doing what we want to do in our routines. It's kind of like our own time, but usually we kind of, you know, meet up after our alone time in the morning and kind of have these discussions. And this morning we were kind of discussing about, like, you know, my goal overall is to really just become like more sustainable and not dependent on anything, having to buy anything in for our garden, such as, like, you know, fertilizers and mainly fertilizers,
because yeah.
Fertilizing is very important in the garden. And if you're not fertilizing and you're wondering, why is my garden not as pretty as yours? Why is my food not producing as much as yours? Those are really the reasons everybody's fertilizing, but there's so many great natural ways to fertilize. So that's kind of what we were talking about this morning.
Right. Yeah. And you, it was kind of cool. You were talking about, and this, I don't know if this is actually, fertilizer, but with the comfrey and planting that around our fruit tree that we have in like a wet area that hasn't been doing the greatest, and the benefits of doing that and what it does.
Yeah, I was, you know, like over the winter, like this has been something that's I've been passionate about for a while. So I just felt like it was really time to start digging in and doing some more studying on, you know, what could help us, you know, do these things. And I love using plants, and so I started learning a lot about comfrey, which as a listener you may already know a lot about, or you may know nothing about, and last year at this time I knew nothing about. So it was quite a fun experience learning about it. And the reason why we like to grow it is because it's going to be used as kind of like, you know, when you're hearing about worm teas, people are, you know, saturating water within the worm castings and they let it sit for a few days up to a week. And then that becomes like a really nice, like fertilizing water, like a natural addition to your soil. It's like a soil conditioner. Sorry for the plane above. A soil conditioner, pH balancer, fertilizer, all those great things. So what they do with comfrey leaves is you can make comfrey tea. So you can soak those in water for quite a bit. And there was actually like this this couple that I was watching, and I wish I remember what, you know, their channel was, but I really love it.
Oh yeah, that's right. They had a YouTube channel that they were showing it on.
It's real slow living, but they're sustainable and they're really fun to watch. And I can share that once I remember what it is in the future. But so they were kind of showing how they grow all of this comfrey, and they have these huge rain barrels in these, you know, so they're like stocked up on these big water barrels, but then they like throw comfrey leaves within inside. So when they're pumping with the hose to like water everything, the water's already like infused with the benefits of comfrey.
Yeah.
So comfrey within its leaves holds so many different nutrients that a lot of these like man-made fertilizers hold. And a lot of times they're used to be planted around a lot of like these orchard trees, because fruit trees need a lot of nutrients and a lot of different times of the year of fertilizing to help them produce. And with, you know, your fruit and the food that you're eating, you don't want to just always buy something and then use it, because a lot of times, you know, when you're using chemical fertilizers, that's, and not a lot of times, it for sure is going into your food.
Yep.
You know, and I don't really want to eat chemicals. So, you know, with comfrey, if you plant it around your orchard trees, it has a really strong root system. And so it kind of roots in around the tree, so it aerates the soil really well. And then it actually, with the comfrey roots, it really sucks up and draws up nutrients within the soil. It's almost like a magnet for soil nutrients within your soil.
Mm-hmm.
And when those roots are intertwined within the orchard tree, it's actually helping deliver those nutrients to the tree. So it's a very great beneficial plant to grow around your orchard. So they also use it by cutting the leaves off and then drying them. And then you put those dry leaves, once you crumble them, around around the surface of the soil around certain plants that you're growing, around any of your plants
sure.
that you're growing.
So then if it rains or you water it in, then it kind of acts mm-hmm. as a fertilizer.
Yeah, and it becomes more of like that organic material. And what I thought would be kind of cool too is if like, you know, at the end of the season, you know, we don't usually clean up our beds a lot. We like to keep it in, but I thought what would be kind of neat would be to kind of start adding some of those leaves and crumpling them up within the garden starting already at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then saving some for like the early spring to also kind of like, you know, put on the surface layer mm-hmm. once, you know, the other ones are kind of like really composted into the dirt on its own
right.
soil. And so those are all the things that we're thinking of too, because with comfrey, what's really nice is, you know, you cut it, but then it replenishes itself like so quickly. And always be sure of what kind of comfrey you're getting. There's a couple different kinds. So there's one that is extremely vigorous and it'll just keep spreading through tubers underneath. And, you know, for me, if I were growing it, I am growing it. but if I were you and you're not growing it, you know, always think about where you're planting it and how much space you have and if you want something to be aggressive like that. There is another variety that just stays put and stays as one plant and doesn't grow the tubers underneath. So always, you know, keep an eye on what variety you're kind of using when you buy your seeds or your plants. Always look for, you know, whether it's like the more, you know, ongoing multiplying
right. which,
type of a plant.
Which one do we have?
Well, the ones over there are not multiplying.
Okay.
None of ours are multiplying. But there's an area in our back where I would really like to put an area for just multiplying mm-hmm. because with the amount of garden space that we have, it would be really nice to, you know, have a large amount so we can have a large harvest. And that would be really cool to even be able to just harvest some of those flower seeds at the end of the season to kind of share with other gardeners as well.
Okay. Does it come back on its own?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, right, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It'll come up through the ground, so don't expect, you know, some of the brown dead leaves on top to turn green next
right.
season. It'll be underneath those
yes.
leaves.
Yep.
And during our winters here in Wisconsin, they get really cold, so I actually don't cut anything back. No shrubs, no perennials, nothing. I let everything die and sit on top of that plant because it's almost like its own blanket and it protects mm-hmm. it. And I really don't do cleanups until we're really like clear of frost or at least 1 to 2 weeks before being clear of frost. So usually like end of April, beginning of May. I know everybody gets so excited in March.
Yeah.
When you have like that, like, oh my gosh, we got 70 degrees, you know, shorts and tank tops.
Yep.
You know?
The one day that happens in March.
Everybody wants to go into their garden and start clipping. And then it's like all of a sudden your plants are unprotected and sometimes we still can get snow. And then it's just kind mm-hmm. of like, you know,
yep.
you know, then they're like, well, I don't know why it was coming back, but now it's like dead. And it's like, well, yeah, you like took the blanket off of it. And, you know.
And it froze to death.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're just always careful with that because it always just depends on where you live when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really cool. There's lots of benefits then with the comfrey.
Yeah, and I'm still learning about it. So I'm not like the most knowledgeable person on comfrey, you know, just because I, you know, studied it for, you know, the off season. I always feel like you become more well-rounded in your knowledge of something when you grow it and use it for what it's grown for. And that's kind of where we're at this season because we learned about it. We seeded it from scratch. And then we actually also bought in some bare roots too, just to try the difference. And those started really nice too. Like the tubers, people send out tubers from
right.
underground. So
right.
We tried that too, and everything turned out great. So the seeds and tubers all turned out awesome. But like this is the year where we're like using it, like for the reasons why we're growing it. So I feel like that's when you really learn the true knowledge and see the true results so you can speak from true experience. And
right.
so I always say like you can watch and read all you want, but until you grow or try or do something, that's when you learn the real knowledge of a plant. So.
Yeah. Yep. The firsthand experience.
You see
exactly what you see and
Yeah.
Can share from there, so.
Yep, and we already have the little compost bins, which have been nice for all of our food scraps, and our worms are always happy and
yep.
I just
well
put,
fed.
Yeah, I had to clean out the fridge yesterday because I had to get some fresh food. We were out of town, so, you know, some things kind of don't get eaten then, and so I always chop everything up before I put it into the compost bin,
yeah.
too, so that way it's, like, easier to, like, it goes a lot quicker. It turns
right.
into compost
okay.
a lot quicker.
So you get a quicker turnaround then as opposed to just putting a big...
melon in.
Yeah. Or something.
Don't
yeah.
just put a big melon in there. I mean, you can, but, like, if you chop it, it's, like, it'll be gone within, like, a few days rather than, like, 2 weeks.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why not have a turnaround quicker?
Yeah.
For a little... you know, spending just a couple of minutes chopping
right.
it up.
Yeah.
So.
And we have those little sub pod composts, which are really nice, and it doesn't smell. It's so easy to use. It's nice for large gardens, small yards, especially if you're like growing a really large garden or a small garden within your, and you have like a smaller contained backyard and you have neighbors that are like backyard to backyard. That way then they don't smell, you know, the smell of food being composted, because that can sometimes get smelly if you just have it sitting in a pile and you're turning it naturally. When you have like the sub pod composter, it has a lid on it. It even comes with like a little raised bed around it if you do the whole kit with it, which I love that because it's just like you don't smell anything. And
right.
It's really nice. And we kind of created a cute little space with wildflowers. And
yeah, it's a cool setup, and it keeps it hidden too, so you don't really even see, but you know, anything but the top of the mm-hmm. of the compost,
and it's a seat, and, so which, you can actually mm-hmm. sit on it,
right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. you can plant plants around it, so it covers it even more. So I like that, but overall, like we were also talking this morning about how I would love to get more animals, and mainly for the reason of that whole point of becoming more sustainable and you know, kind of having our own nitrogen based fertilizers from manure. And Jason's not ready for that step, and I completely understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather buy in manure from animals and that
but you know, and honestly, we would have chickens if my dad didn't have chickens, just like for the harvesting of, you know, the eggs and stuff and then the manure. But my dad actually has like 50 laying hens, so we get our eggs from there, but he also does like big cleanups too. So I'm thinking that, you know, a lot of times he piles it and then spreads it into his garden later in the season. But I was thinking, like, you know, because he doesn't really ever know, like, what he's doing with it other
sure.
than just tossing it into the garden
right.
that season.
He's
you know?
Just cleaning it up. And
yeah.
then, right.
Right. So for me, though, I'm like, huh, I, you know, I'm thinking, like, hey, Dad, you want to, you know, start a pile with me and, like, you know, using the skid to turn it and, you know, doing all of that kind of stuff. Because you
mm-hmm.
still want to add, like, other things into it, too, you know. But, you know, a lot of different, like, varieties that you're growing are, you know, like the, like, you know, your peas and beans and your fruit trees and comfrey, you know, like
yeah.
all of these things, you know. A lot of these vegetables that we're eating, they all need nitrogen, like corn, you know, and it's like you're seeing like a lot of these areas where they're taking nitrogen away from farmers and, you know.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah. And that's going to create a food shortage because, you know, you can still have food produced, but you're going to be cut down to about 25% of the amount of food per plant because things aren't going to make it. They're not going to produce, and it's not going to be a hearty harvest. And you're not going to realize it now because it's just starting to be taken away now.
Mm-hmm.
Like this will be something
yeah.
that you'll realize, you know, as time goes on. But, you know, farmers do feed America.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
and you take away the one thing that grows food that helps grow the food, and, you know, you're getting kind of, you're kind of screwed, you know, like, that it's just something we have to watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, a lot of times you don't think about where our food comes from. I mean, even you know, not just veggies and fruits that you're buying at the grocery store, but other things where, you know, wheat is used to make, you know, bread
exactly.
and
yes.
all those types of things, even packaged things and things that are in a box that you're buying at the grocery store, a lot of it is based off of what's grown.
What's grown.
Wheat. I mean, I'm saying wheat because I'm looking at a field of wheat right now. Yep. So that's in my head. But
we're surrounded by a field of wheat, winter wheat.
Yeah. So if you don't have, you know, near the production of that, then yeah, all of that is going to attribute into not having as much of everything, fruits, vegetables, bread, any items with grain in them or anything like that. So it's,
yeah. And that's kind of, you know, my whole thing too is, you know, I want to just do things to where, you know, however what's going on and how things are being controlled, I just want to be able to have like dependency within ourselves,
right?
You know,
yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate way to you know, not have to worry and to feel comfortable is to know that, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if I can't go and get food from somewhere. I've got enough here to basically, you know, keep us living.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you think about going way back to the, you know, the Little House on the Prairie days, or back to the olden days, we'll call it. I mean, families lived, you know, in an area and they grew all their own food. I mean, yeah, there were probably little trading posts where they were able to get certain things, but most of the stuff was grown, you know, on their land, and they lived off of those things. I know we have, you know, frozen pizzas that we can make. We can order pizza. We can, I love pizza, that's why I'm bringing up pizza, but there's so many different things that we eat. And really, I mean, all we really need are some basic things. I mean, going way back to those olden days, I mean, they had their main, you know, their fruits, their veggies, their bread. I mean, really, if it comes down to it, you can survive on just those things.
Yep.
You know, so we don't need to have.
And I've gotten better at making bread since I got that bread maker.
Yep. Right. Yeah, you have. And so it's like we don't need to have, like, if you know, all of a sudden there was no food at the grocery store or something happened where you couldn't go there and get it, it would feel great to know that, okay, I've got, and I grew enough fruits and veggies to where we were able to harvest them, and we've got enough to hold us over until next growing season. Mm-hmm. And we've got our main necessities that we need.
Right. So. Yeah, I do think it's important. And, you know, this isn't like trying to, like, you know, add fear into anything or anything like that. But, you know, like, I also believe that we can't be naive this time around. And just because there's so many things kind of like happening around us, if you guys, you know, pay attention a little bit to some of the things, and they're all kind of leading up to this. And, you know, you know, we were so naive when, like, the whole toilet paper thing happened.
Mm-hmm, right.
And my mom kept saying, get some toilet paper. You know, I'm like, oh, toilet paper. Me and Jason were kind of laughing, like, whatever. And then Jason goes to the grocery store and calls me. He's like, hon, there's only 2 packs of toilet paper left, and we're only limited to 1. Like, all right, no more are we naive like that. You know, like, we were just like, yeah, that's not really going to, like, you know, happen. Like, don't get me wrong. We're not stupid. We can see the climate of things. But, you know, it's always been so secure here. We've always been, you know, we've never had to worry about anything. Like, nobody has ever had to worry about anything like that since the prairie days.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, so it's like, I'm just like, I'm not going into any of this anymore being naive. So I think it's time that we start, you know, gradually kind of turning our garden just not into this beautiful flowers and veggies, you know, and just eat when we can. And yeah, la-di-da-di-da, you know, like, it's like, no, wake up and, like, let's get these things going. Let's become more sustainable. Let's create our own living and just, you know, not depend on anything else.
Right. And even if there aren't any issues with, because there very well could be no issues with,
could be
this
hype.
Could just be, right. I mean, that's definitely a possibility. But if you are growing your own and you're harvesting and you're, you know, canning, saving, whatever, you're going to save yourself money either way, because those are still things that are, you know, very good and healthy for you, number one. Number two, you're going to have those items, so you're not going to need to buy as much food at the grocery store. So yep. there's,
and the
you
prices
can't go
keep,
wrong either way.
The prices keep going up too. So right. that's kind of the other thing. So like, say you're like buying more things now, you know, just in case, and not just like, not out of fear, but just like, you know what, like these are things I'd eat anyway. So instead of buying one, I'm going to buy two, you know, and really it's like you'll be paying less now than you will be in a couple months, because just in the past couple weeks everything has gone up even more. I mean, longer than just a couple weeks, but within the couple weeks it's been more food price focused, and that's due to kind of a lot of, like, you know, the nitrogen kind of being, you know, limited, and fertilizer prices going up, trucking with the gas going up, you know, all of these things, and food factories on fire, butcher shops, you know, on fire, all these things. So you can't even process the livestock, you mm-hmm. know, you're raising. So like, there's a lot going on in front of us. So it's not like, you know, out of the ordinary to just add a couple additional things to your pantry, because it will go up more in price. We've
right.
been watching that. So even if, you know, like Jason said, like even if nothing happens, because that could very well be the case, but you know, you're at least paying less now than you will later. And that's kind of like the sad part to me, is that like, it's going to affect, you know, a lot of people. I hate when like these things happen, because it's just like, to me, I don't know how, it's just nuts. I could go on. I hate it, because I just think it's just awful for people. And but I always say, you know, like, so say you're like, you know, a listener, and you're like, how can I, you know, how can I, you know, grow more food if I don't have the space or anything like that, you know? So there are a lot of different groups and communities online that, you know, you can join. And I always say, like, what are some of your skills that you can offer? You know, like, it's kind of coming down to like a bartering situation. Like, you know, maybe you could learn how to can or store some things for someone, or go and help harvest or maintain their garden. And then the exchange would be, you know, part of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like groups where, you know, people are running larger farms and could really use that help. And that would be like the exchange. There always is an exchange, whether that's money or food. And you're kind of seeing that more, where like these groups are kind of coming together, and people who don't have these farms or large gardens, they're kind of, you know, offering up their skill in exchange for, you know, these types of things. And I've been kind of seeing that, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So there's always something that you can do, even if you don't have the space to be able to go out and grow a bunch of
yeah.
stuff. There's still a way to be part of that. So mm-hmm. That's a good thing. So
yeah, and being outside too, and helping someone else, and just, I don't know, being out there, and it's just good for your mental health too, especially, you know, these days with everything. And
yeah, yep. Yep, the mental health is equally as important to your physical health, and I guess it's kind of the same type of thing.
But yeah.
Yeah, having those times where you're not thinking about anything else, and you're just enjoying what's in front of you, and your mind's not racing about things. It's so important to
have
those
yeah.
moments. I mean, that can really, it can attribute to the way that your day goes, you know,
mm-hmm.
having a good day or being stressed out from the beginning and worrying about certain things can, you know, affect your entire day. So if you're starting your day, or even if you have a moment during the day or a time during the day that you can just stop and enjoy,
yeah,
you know, nature or whatever it is that takes your mind off of things and stops your mind from racing, then that's definitely a healthy thing for you. So
yeah, and another really like healthy thing for you is to interact with people and not just online. You know, a lot of times they're like, we don't know what this uprise is of stress and anxiety. And it's like, well, you shut down the world and force everyone to only communicate online where everyone's angry. So, you know, I'm like, I don't know. What do you think it is? You know? I always say, like, being online, yeah, you find different communities and you can find friends, but it's not the same. So if you can even just find like a fun group of people that have, you know, things that you both like, that you all like, having groups that maybe just do tea or do wine or just talk, you know, like that's what I always say to Jason, like there needs to be more groups where you just get together and talk. Like there's no like agenda for it. Like there's no like, we're going to only talk about this today, or like, you know, like with book clubs, we're only going to discuss this book. It's like, no, I want to show up and I just want to talk. I just want to enjoy a conversation with people and talk about whatever comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm even up for talking about your kids today, you know, and I'm never usually up for that. So, you know, like a lot of people, all they do is talk about their kids. And sometimes like my eyes just like glaze over. I know it sounds terrible, but like,
yeah, no, I think other people can definitely relate. With
I know.
That, so
everyone likes talking about their kids, but nobody else really likes listening. So I'm just kind of like, you know, like I like to talk about other things.
Yeah. Well,
know?
There you go. You know, maybe that's an idea, hon. You could start a group.
Well, that is kind of, remember I was like wine and women, or, you know, tea and talk and in the gardens. And those are like the types of events that I'd love to have in the garden. Things that are so chill. Like we would eventually like to have different types of, you know, workshops too. Cause everybody's like, oh, I want to learn. But it's like, you know, like I teach so much in videos all the time that like, I would like to just have a relaxing moment and connect with people in the garden, because that to me is just as important as learning how to grow something, mm-hmm. because communication is just like, it's what keeps us sane.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's good too, because when you're online and you don't agree with somebody, you're so quick to, you know, comment, because you don't see them, they don't see you, and you know, you may disagree, so there's no conversation, but there's like a snip back, you know.
Sure.
But if you're together and you're talking and you're just so grateful to just have a group to be in front of, like a physical group of people, and you're talking and you disagree, you have conversations.
Right. Yeah. You can smooth things over. You can both end up, you know, even agreeing to disagree or whatever it is, but it's gonna end in a much better way.
Right.
And that's the way that it should be. You should be able to talk about certain things and not just like, this is my opinion and, you know, your opinion's completely wrong and then that's it. I'm going away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're able to talk about things, then, you know, that's just a much better end result. People aren't left feeling angry or sad or whatever it is.
Well, and if like, you know, you're commenting back or you're texting, people read the response the way that they want to within their head. So you may have been like, oh, yeah, that's all good. But they hear it as like, oh, yeah, that's all good.
Right.
Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what they hear.
That's
you know,
so,
even though
so
you're like,
true.
Oh, no, 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 you know, like, upbeat, like, okay, we agree to disagree,
right.
But they hear, I agree to disagree.
Yeah. Just yesterday I had a text, because I text a lot with work, with customers, with, it's just a huge form of communication. I was going to be meeting somebody out at a lot, and I wanted to verify the correct address, and we kind of texted back and forth, and I'm like, okay, good, you know, I got it, I'll be out there, and then they texted back, great. And then a period. And you could look at that a couple of, like, I looked at it as like, great.
Great, but, he's coming over again.
But they were, you know, after meeting with them in person, which is what I went and did immediately after that, it was great. You know, that's what they really meant to say. And some, you know, like when I text, I realize that people read things a certain way, so I put exclamation points after a lot of things that I write, so that like if I write great, there's an exclamation point behind it, so there's no, like, people know great, you know,
or a thumbs up or a wide smile emoji, something that they know, like, you're like, good vibes, we got this,
right?
You know, not like, so they don't receive it as like a thumbs down, a sad face.
Yes. Yep.
Like, you have to be clear, you know.
Yep, Yeah, it's funny because that's definitely something that everybody can
relate to. I'm an exclamation point, like exclamation mark person too. Yeah. Like constantly. Yep. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you kind of inherited that from me because everything I say, I'm like, okay, see you later, exclamation point, you know? I'm going to run with the kids, exclamation point. Like, yeah, I'm in a good mood, but if I put a period, he's like, oh, crap. What? She's pissed.
What did I do? No. Yeah, even in emails, like even in my work emails, I'm the same way in there. So
yeah, when I see periods, I'm like, wah, wah.
But then you got to be careful, too, because if you're writing an email, you know, you don't want to have an exclamation point at the end of every sentence.
I know, they're going to be like,
it's kind of like, okay, well.
This guy's on speed. 4 cups of coffee in. Everything's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on 30 minutes here on the podcast, which is kind of usually where we like to keep it. And we have a meeting in less than an hour, and I got to get my face painted before they get here, and it takes a while. So we're going to just thank you guys for listening today. I'm used to saying watching because we got the videos. Yep. And hope you guys enjoyed this, and I hope you guys come back to listen for more.
Take care. Have a great rest of the day.
See ya.